Please turn in your Bibles this evening to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And again, we take this time this evening to direct our thoughts, our worship to the Lord Jesus Christ as we observe the Lord's Supper as a New Testament Baptist church. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul writing to the young preacher, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should afterward believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to preach tonight, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul the Apostle gives a bit of his testimony, and he makes a most remarkable statement that is true of anyone who has truly been saved. If you've been brought to an end of yourself, and you've been convicted of your sin and your wickedness, you can thank the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness in light of what you once were. And Paul makes that clear over and over throughout all of his epistles. You see, none of us are worthy in the least of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You are not good enough. You don't have enough. You don't have the merits, the obedience, the righteousness that's necessary in and of yourself to go into the presence of God and to live eternally with God, because you and I are sinners, ungodly, undone, without, when we were without Christ, we were without God in this world. We were without hope. We were in darkness. We were under the condemnation of the law. We were in the captivity of Satan. We were blinded by the god of this world. We were in bondage to our own lusts. And Paul, he painfully remembers what he was in verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Do any of those things fit you? I know I was a blasphemer. I know I hated the people of God. I may not have just outwardly said that, but I did have a part of me that despised those that do good before I was saved. He says in verse 15, and I believe this should be the confession of anybody that's ever been saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He thought He was the chief of sinners. Have you ever met someone, if you're witnessing to them and talking to them about the Lord, and you get the idea that they really believe that they can work their way to heaven, that their law keeping, their good works, their baptism, their observance of certain regulations and standards which their church sets forth, that somehow all of that put together is going to get them to heaven? If you have that kind of mentality, you are lost and in your sins. Until you're brought to see the fact that you're a sinner worthy of condemnation, you can't be saved. It's just that simple. He came to save sinners. It's a worthy, this saying is worthy of all acceptation. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The one that we are thanking tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are remembering the fact that He left heaven's glory, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived a completely spotless, undefiled, holy life, that He was willing to voluntarily give His life, His body, His blood, His soul, His everything. He gave Himself for us. It was Christ who, while on the cross, cried out, "I thirst," as our substitute. That's what would have been our lamentable woe throughout all eternity in the lake of fire. We would have been crying for just a drop of water to cool our tongue. He suffered that for us. The wrath of Almighty God, with all the vengeance against sin and ungodliness, His justice fell upon the person of Jesus Christ as He bore our sins in His body. He suffered in our stead so that we could be made righteous. But He didn't come to save people who are righteous. He came to save sinners. And He has saved some of the worst of them. And I know the rock out of which I've been hewn, where I came from. And I've said it many times, if you would have known me 42 years ago, and you would have seen my life and the way that I acted, you would have never, ever thought that anybody like that would be saved by the grace of God. But I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, because His death, His burial, His resurrection so radically changed me that I was no longer a blasphemer, no longer a persecutor. He saved me, one of the chief of sinners. So tonight, as we observe the Lord's Supper, as we drink the wine and we eat the bread, that those symbols of Christ's blood and unblemished body that was offered for us, I hope that you will thank Him for not leaving. You were not left in your sins to perish, but by mighty grace, He came where you were. He brought you out of the miry pit. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He brought you out of deadness into life. He changed you miraculously for time and eternity. It is the single greatest thing that's ever happened to me or ever will happen to me. Saved by Jesus Christ. Saved by what He did. Not by anything that I have ever done or ever will do. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We ought to thank Christ for the abundance of grace and mercy. It says in verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." You're saved tonight. You've experienced grace upon grace upon grace. Not just saving grace, but sanctifying grace. Serving grace. In fact, anything that you've ever done that God approves of, you can thank Christ for His grace. You can thank God for His dealing with you, not on the basis of what you deserve, but on the basis of His own grace and mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As we observe the Lord's Supper tonight, we cast our lot with all the Baptist forefathers that have gone on before us, who have observed this ordinance and who stood firmly upon this truth. Salvation by sovereign grace alone, plus nothing, minus nothing, only the merits, only the righteousness, only the blood of Jesus Christ. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. And it's exceeding abundant. Sometimes I get so aggravated at myself. Because if I was in the frame of mind every day of thanking Christ, I would never complain ever about another thing. I would not say, "Lord, why me?" I wouldn't get upset by any act of providence. I would take everything that comes my way as God's dealing with me in grace. Even difficulties and trials. Oh, that God would change our minds. You see, when you think about this, if you're saved and you've experienced this abundant grace, everything else is just a bonus in this life when you really think about it. I'm not only saved, but He's opened up my eyes to see many truths from the Word of God. He's made His Spirit precious to me, indwelling me, empowering me, enabling me to serve and to preach the gospel of the grace of God. He's given me a church with people that love the Lord, that want to serve Him together and carry out the Great Commission. How many blessings can you count tonight? And that doesn't even include all of the physical blessings, all of the food and the fellowship and the raiment and the housing. Oh, how content we ought to be as we thank Christ daily. We ought to thank Him for life everlasting. Verse 16, "For howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." He's saying there's going to be some people that were just like me who are going to be saved in the very same way. God is going to give them grace to believe, and the moment that God gives them the grace of saving faith, that very moment, they are going to partake of life everlasting. How amazing is that? Jesus Christ has given us life everlasting, something that can never be abolished, never be taken away. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how glorious it is to think that I have everlasting life right now. I didn't have to do anything to obtain it. I don't have to do anything to keep it. It's everlasting. If God has purposed to give me and grace me everlasting life in the everlasting covenant of grace, and He sent His Son to redeem me with the blood of the everlasting covenant, and He sent His Spirit in my heart to seal me for all eternity, I have life everlasting. That is so secure. There is, when Paul talked, and when he wrote to the Romans, he gave you every feasible human idea of opposition that could possibly cause someone to be separated from God and from His love. But you know what? The golden chain of redemption is unbroken, and absolutely nothing can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. The one that we serve and worship and that we remember tonight, He's the one that obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's thank Him for that. And then we ought to thank Christ Jesus our Lord for the ability to recognize and praise Him as the King eternal. See, our world is filled with men who are seeking adulation and praise and power and prestige, and man at his best state is altogether vanity. That means less than nothing. Take all the world leaders, combine all of their wealth, combine all of their power, all of their authority, and they can't even compare to our King, because He's immortal. He's eternal. He reigns, and He's all glorious and all powerful. And I'm so glad tonight that I recognize Him as the King eternal, the only one worthy of worship, the only one worthy of adulation and adoration. There will never be a time in all of eternity where another man other than Christ Jesus will receive worship, because He alone is worthy. That's why it says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." He's our Lamb. He's our King. He is, notice, Paul recognized Him as the only wise God, and worthy of honor and glory forever and ever. So tonight, if we are going to observe the Lord's Supper in a manner that pleases God, we will remember Him. And we will thank Him for who He is, what He's done, what He's going to do. You see, if we have a right understanding of this, all of the events that are going on in the world, all of the wickedness that is throughout our land and in the world, the King Eternal is going to, He's going to have His way and have His will. And there is coming a day when the King Eternal is going to put down every earthly power. He's going to judge all of His enemies. And we're going to come back with Him to rule and reign upon this earth. And not only are we going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, after the great white throne judgment, the eternal ages are going to go on and on and on, and we're going to worship the King Eternal. We're going to take our place with all the blood washed, with all those dressed in spotless white. We're going to sing His praises and glorify His name as the eternal ages roll on. May God give us grace to thank Him for what He's done in our lives.